If you have your Bibles, why don't you turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And as you are turning there, I just want to read something to you that I read this week in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Peter writes, and he says, "This is my second letter to you, dear friends, and in both of them I have tried to stimulate your wholesome thinking and refresh your memory. I've written you two letters, and my purpose of writing these letters is to refresh your memory." You know, sometimes we just need a good refresher. We need to refresh our memory about who God is and what God has done in our lives. Sometimes we just need to remember a little bit about how God saved us, how God delivered us, about the words that God has spoken into our life, about the promises that God has put before us. And as I was reading that, I went back to the beginning of this year. And I looked at the very first message of the year on Sunday, January 5th. I went back to that message, and I can tell you that as I began to read over that message, as it kind of laid a pathway for this year, I got so inspired on the inside. I got so fired up about what God had said. You know, sometimes we just move so fast from one thing to the next. We move from one sermon to the next sermon. We move from one season of life to the next season of life. We move from one promise to the next promise. And we don't do justice of remembering, of refreshing ourselves. And here Peter said, "I just want to remind you of a few things. I just want to remind you of a few promises. I just want to remind you of a few words. I just want to remind you of things that maybe you've already heard and things that you already know and already have learned before. But I want to remind you of these things." And as you know, we started this year. This was the year of discovery, Pastor Denny said. And we attached a verse to that, and we attached a thought to that, that we're not just going to discover just different things. We are going to discover life this year. We're going to discover life, real life. We're going to discover the life that Jesus wants us to live. Not the life that you're currently living, not the life that you used to live, but the life that you were created to live by Almighty God. Jesus said this. He said that I didn't come. He said the enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life, that you might have it to the full, that you might have it in abundance, that you might have it until it overflows. And if Jesus said, "This is the reason that I have come," that you would have this example of a life. And then if you were to evaluate your life today and you say, "Man, my life is not overflowing with joy. My life is not filled up to capacity with peace. My life is not overflowing with love. My life is not in this abundant state," then it causes us to go back and to reevaluate our lives. Because Jesus said this. He said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." You can't find anything in life outside of Jesus that is going to bring permanent fulfillment. You can't find anything outside of Jesus that will give you ultimate purpose. Only in Jesus Christ can you find purpose. Only in Jesus Christ can you find identity. Only in Jesus. And Jesus said, "I am that way." But many times we go to our own definition of life. We don't let the author of life define life for us. We don't let life himself define life for us. In terms, we bring our experiences to life. We bring our point of view to life. We bring our own opinions about what life should be. But here Jesus is saying, no. Whatever you thought life was, I want you to know that there is more. There is more in your life than you ever dreamed possible. And when you begin to go on this journey, this discovery process of learning about this life that Jesus really wants you to live, what can happen sometimes is that we settle for less when we could actually have more. Sometimes we settle for what is natural when we could experience supernatural. Sometimes we settle for just enough when God said, "I want to give you more than enough." Sometimes we settle for normal when we could have abundance. Sometimes we settle for good when God really wants us to live in what is greater. You see, I don't want to settle when the Bible tells me that I was created to soar. I don't want to come to a place where I'm frustrated and I'm confused and I just want to give up. No, I want to live up to the life that God has called me to live. So in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, this is the verse that we started this year with, and I want to remind you of just a few things. It says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. You see, we serve a God who is able. But not only do we serve a God who is able, we serve a God who is able to do. It would be one thing if we just served a God who was able to heal the sick, but he never did heal the sick. It would be one thing if we served a God who was able to deliver, but he actually never delivered anybody. But you see, throughout the Bible, from Genesis all the way to Revelation, we find out that God is able because he is a God that does. He is a God who sets the captive free. He is a God who heals blind eyes. He is a God who redeems and who rescues. He is a God who fills and empowers. He is not the God who is merely able. He is the God that loves to do. And when you read throughout the Bible, you see time and time again where God is the God who comes through. God is the God who does more than they even thought possible. God is the God, and you need to be reminded of that, because sometimes your situation can look bigger than God. Sometimes your trouble can seem larger than God. Sometimes the situation, the circumstance that you find yourself in, you say, there is no way out of this. But whenever you are reminded that I serve a God who is able to pick me up and to move me over here, I serve a God who is able to part the Red Sea so that I can walk right through my trouble. I serve a God who is willing and able to shut the mouths of lions. I serve a God who is able. And when you refresh your memory and you remind yourself, all of a sudden your situation and your trouble doesn't look so terrifying anymore, because you're reminded about the God that you serve. He is the God who is able to do. Able to do what? He's able to do immeasurably more. Immeasurably more. You know, whenever you look up that word immeasurable, there's only one definition for that word. Many times as a speaker and a preacher, you may look up a word and there's like seven different words or meanings for that word, and you kind of pick the one that best fits what you're trying to communicate and trying to say. When you look up immeasurable, there's only one definition, and it's this: incapable of being measured, limitless. Incapable of being measured, limitless. And you need to refresh your memory that what God wants to do in your life, it cannot be measured. The impact that God wants you to have on your world, it is limitless. It is incapable of being measured. What God wants to do in your life, and what God wants to do in your family, and what God wants to do through you and through your family, it is incapable of being measured. It is limitless. There is no cap on it. It can't be estimated. It can't be calculated. What God wants to do in your life, it is through the roof. It is immeasurably more than you ever dreamed possible. And that's what the Bible says. He says he is the God who is able to do immeasurably more than what? All we can ask or imagine. Say all. All we can ask or imagine. You see, what I'm telling you this morning is that after you dream the dream of immeasurable, God wants to do even more than that. After you ask for what seems to be impossible, God desires to give you even more than that. You see, God's plan is bigger than your wildest dreams. God's dream for your life is bigger than any dream you can conjure up. You see, this is the year. This is the time. This is the season where you lay hold of the immeasurable more. This is the time for you to lay hold of the abundant life. This is the reason. This is the season for you to discover what God meant when he said, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full until it overflows. Why? Because you were created for immeasurably more. That's what you were created for. But I want to bring your attention to two things this morning. Two traps that the enemy wants to set for you. Two things that will prevent you from living and moving into the immeasurably more. And your first is this, is thoughts. The first is thoughts. Proverbs 23 verse 7 says this: for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. What does that mean? That means what you think determines what you be or what you are. And what you are begins to determine what you do. It determines the words that come out of your mouth. It determines the attitude that comes forth from your heart. You see, our life tends to always move in the direction of our strongest thoughts. Your life will always move in the direction of your strongest thoughts. And the Bible says this in Proverbs 4:23. Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Be careful how you think, because your life is shaped by your thoughts. Simply put, our thoughts will determine who we become. Our thoughts will determine who we become. One of my favorite quotes, and I use it often, is a guy by the name of James Allen. He said this: you are today where your thoughts have brought you. You will be tomorrow where your thoughts take you. You are today where your thoughts have brought you, and you will be tomorrow where your thoughts take you. You see, this morning, if your life is consumed with negative thoughts, worried thoughts, worldly thoughts, sinful thoughts, then that means that you are moving in that direction with your life. If your life is filled with positive thoughts, eternal thoughts, peaceful thoughts, Jesus thoughts, then your life is moving in that direction. And there are so many things in our society that are crying out to us. They are crying out for us to get distracted. It's to say, hey, why don't you be negative about this? Hey, why don't you worry about that? Hey, why don't you focus on what doesn't last instead of what lasts for all eternity? So many things are trying to distract you. They're trying to be a trap in your mind. And you must be diligent to do regular inventory of what you're thinking about. I say it a lot. You need to think about what you think about. You need to think about what you think about. And you say, why for that? Well, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. You see, that's what we want to be. There's no way we can get to immeasurably more without being transformed into a new person. There's no way you can get to the abundant life that Jesus wants to give you unless you're transformed into a new person. So we all say, man, this is what I want. I want that in my life. Well, how do you get there? The transformation comes by changing the way you think. That's how transformation happens. You begin to change the way you think. And changing the way you think changes what you think about. Changing the way you think changes what you think about. I was, this past Monday, I was at dinner with Pastor Ricky Temple. The pastor's a great church in Savannah, Georgia, and he actually spoke last Sunday at Shreveport Community Church, and I had the opportunity just to spend a couple hours with him, and he was telling the story. He said it was just a couple months ago, and he was running and exercising, and as he was running, there's a little track around this little pond, and as he was running around this pond, he said he heard the loudest that God had ever spoken to him in his mind. He said it was just, it just stopped him literally in his tracks, and God said, stop! And he said he just was just running along, had his earphones in, and just boom, he said he just came to a stop. And he said he started looking around him and said, what, stop, what? And he said, stop and think about what you are thinking about. And he said he kept walking a little bit, found a bench, and he just began to process from the moment that he'd been running. He said he had been running for about 30 minutes. And he said he just started going through his run and thinking about all the things that he had thought about. And he said, in his mind, he was thinking, I'm trying to solve a problem. In his mind, he was thinking, oh, I'm kind of being prayerful concerning this person or this situation. In his mind, he was thinking that I'm doing something good. And he said, in that moment, God began to point out that you're not doing anything good. What you're doing is you're stirring up worry. You're stirring up anxiety. You're stirring up fear. You're stirring up doubt. You're stirring up all these negative things. You are not trying to come up with a solution. You're just thinking about the problem. And that's two very different things. And so as he was sharing this with me, it was so enlightening to hear him say these things, because he said, we have got to think about what we think about, because sometimes we even think we're doing good. Sometimes we think we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, but in all actuality, that's not the way that we're supposed to live. And so we must constantly be thinking about what we think about. Hear me this morning. The enemy wants to trap you into a pattern of thinking that will prevent you from living in the fullness that God has for you. The enemy's plan is to trap you into a pattern of thinking, into a way of thinking, into a habit of thinking that will prevent you from living in the fullness of all that God has for you. Let me give you just two quick examples, and then we'll move on. The first example is in the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 3, when Eve is there. Eve doesn't just wake up one morning and walk over to the tree and pick the fruit and take a big bite out. No. Eve was convinced. She was manipulated. She was persuaded. She was deceived. What would we say? We would say that the devil talked her into it. So what happened in that moment? What happened was the enemy changed her thinking. The enemy changed the way that she saw the tree, the way she thought about the tree, the way she looked at the fruit, the way she desired the fruit. Everything changed, but it didn't change on the outside. It changed on the inside. What changed first is the way that she thought. And then what she thought, she looks at the tree and says, wow, it looks beautiful. The fruit must be delicious. And then she takes the fruit off of the tree and eats the fruit, and it all traced back to one thing. Her thinking about the tree changed. It led to all the sin of the world because the enemy came in and messed with her mind. So how do you think the enemy is trying to come after you? Do you think he's going to come after you any different than he came after God's original creation? Absolutely not. He's going to come to manipulate your mind, to deceive your mind, to trick your mind. He's going to come to talk you into something, a way of thinking, a way of believing that will result in an action that will bring destruction in your life. You see, it's just about our thoughts. Let me give you another example. In Numbers 13, Moses sends out 12 spies. And we know the story. Moses sent them out to look at the land that God had already promised to give them. They were to bring back some of the fruit of the land, to bring back a report so that everybody could get excited about what was to come. And when the 12 spies come back, there's 10 spies that bring this report. And they say, man, you're not going to believe what. Man, there are fortified cities. They got huge walls. Man, the weapons that they have, they are way better than the weapons that we got. Man, and also there were giants in the land. There is no way that we could take on those giants and possibly win. But what happened was those 10 spies were only listening to what they were talking to each other about, and they didn't. And Joshua and Caleb, they were listening about what God told Moses was going to happen. So you have to see, who are you listening to? What thoughts are you allowing to dominate your life? The 10 were thinking about what they were actually capable of, and the 2, they were thinking about what God was actually capable of. And if the enemy can keep your mind occupied with wrong thoughts, then he can keep you from occupying the place of abundance. If he can keep your mind occupied with the wrong thoughts, then the enemy can keep you from occupying the place of abundance. I love Pastor Keith Kraft, and he has a saying, and it's a theme for him. Elevate your thinking and elevate your life. If you elevate your thinking, you can elevate your life. Your life will not be elevated any higher than your thinking is elevated. So if you want your life to go to a next level, you want your marriage to go to a next level, you want relationships to go to the next level, you want everything to go to another level, the only way to get to that level is for your thinking to go first, because your life will follow your thoughts. Your life will follow what you are thinking about. So first, the first trap is your thoughts. Because if the enemy can lock you in to what they call stinking thinking, if he can lock you into that negativity, if he can lock you into that doubt, if he can lock you into that fear, then that trap closes on your foot. And although you might be able to see abundance, and although you might be willing to reach for abundance, and you're trying to get to the promise of God, when you are caught in the trap, there's no way that you can go. Here's the second trap. We have the first is our thoughts. The second trap is our oughts. Our oughts. Have you ever heard this before? You know, you really haven't prayed in forever. You ought to pray more if you really loved God. When is the last time that you read your Bible? you ought to read your Bible more since you proclaim that you're a Christian. You know, you ought to act better since you tell people that God is number one in your life. You see, the devil loves to throw that word out there. He loves to talk about the oughts in your life, because with those oughts come heaps and loads of condemnation. The oughts cause guilt. The oughts cause shame. The oughts cause feelings of disapproval. It causes them all to rise to the surface. And condemnation is such a strong trap. This is what the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation. If you belong to Christ Jesus, there is no place in your life for condemnation. Conviction, yes. Condemnation, no. You see, God convicts us of sin so that we know it's wrong. God convicts us of sin so that we can come to repentance and can get back where we need to be. There's a big difference between conviction and condemnation. Let me just give you a couple of those differences. Conviction focuses on the future. Condemnation focuses on the past. Conviction speaks of a need to change. Condemnation says that change obviously is not possible. Conviction points you towards hope. Condemnation breeds hopelessness. Conviction carries you closer to the immeasurably more. Condemnation prevents you from stepping foot in the land of abundance. You see, don't let the enemy's oughts keep you from living the life that you were created to live. Let me encourage you this morning. God is not nearly as concerned with how you ought to have lived yesterday as he is how you could live tomorrow. God is not nearly concerned with how you ought to have lived yesterday as he is with how you could live tomorrow. You see, you won't step into abundance. You won't step into immeasurably more without a fight. The enemy is not just going to allow you to coast right into the abundant life. Why? Because when you lay hold of immeasurably more, when you lay hold of the abundant life, lives are changed. When you lay hold of the abundant life, families are transformed. When you lay hold of the life that God wants you to have, cities become shaken by the power of God, because we begin to experience the overflow of his presence, the overflow of his goodness, the overflow of his kindness, the overflow of repentance. It begins to overflow out of our lives. And the enemy wants to do everything that he can possibly do to keep you from the revelation of the abundant life. Ephesians 3:20, as we read, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. What is that power for? What is that power for? He says, I've got immeasurably more for you. I've got abundant life for you. And he says, it's going to happen when you lay hold of this power that is at work within you. What is that power for? The Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. They have divine power to demolish the traps of your life. You see, God wants you to have immeasurably more so bad. God wants you to have the abundant life so bad. God wants your life overflowing so bad that he put his power inside of you so that you would have the ability to demolish every trap that would try to hold you back, so that you would have the power and the ability to demolish every stronghold that would prevent you from moving into the abundant life and experiencing the immeasurably more in your life. You see, you might have found yourself trapped or held captive by your thoughts. You might have found yourself trapped or held captive by your oughts. You see, I came to inform you this morning that there is a power that will create an alleyway into your abundance. There is a power inside of you that will create an entrance into your immeasurable. There is a power that is active and alive inside of you. And God put it there so that you could demolish the traps of your life, so you could demolish the strongholds in your life, and so that ultimately you could step into the immeasurably more that God has for you. See, you were created for abundant life. It doesn't matter the mistakes that you've made up until this point. It doesn't matter all those things you wish you wouldn't have done. It doesn't matter all those people you wish you would not have spent time with. It doesn't matter the mistakes that you've made and the sins that you have accrued over the course of your life. That's not the point. You see, God created you for abundant life. And out of all of your nothing, God can give you abundance. Out of the broken pieces of your life, God can give you a life that overflows. Out of everything, the mess that you have made of your life, God can give you something that is beyond your wildest dreams, because that's what our God is able to do. That's what He is. And He wants you to live in the immeasurably more. He wants you to experience the abundant life, and He did it so bad that He put His power inside of you. And as I was reading, and I began to think back about this verse, this verse is the very catalyst. It kicked off our year, Ephesians 3:20. And I began to think about the immeasurably more that we've already experienced in 5 months. If I would have told you on January 5th that 940 people were going to be here on Easter Sunday, there's a good portion of the people in the house that would have said, "No, Pastor, that's impossible." But it wasn't impossible. It was just immeasurably more than we thought. If I told you that in the first 4 months of this year that we would baptize more people this year than we did all of last year, you would say, "Ah, Pastor, that's probably not going to happen." No, it actually did happen, because it's a part of our immeasurably more. If I would have told you that in 4 weeks we were going to raise over $170,000 right here at North Point Community Church, you'd said, "Pastor, I think you're dreaming too big. I think that's a little bit impossible." No, it wasn't impossible. It was a part of immeasurably more. And you see, whenever you begin to live a life that God created you to live, that's where miracles happen. Miracles happen in abundance. Miracles happen in the overflow. And that's where God created you to live. God just wants to remind you this morning. He wants to remind you about who He is. He wants to remind you about what He can do. He wants to remind you about the promise that He gave to you, that you could live a life of immeasurably more, that He would be willing to forgive all of your sins so that you could live in abundance. He is willing to step into your life, to completely accept you, to totally invite you in so that you can live the life that you were created to live in the first place. It is a life of immeasurably more. And I don't know about you, but these first 5 months have got me fired up about the next 7 months. These first 5 months have got me looking over to see what is God about to do in our future. I want you to stand with me. I want to give you just a few things when we talk about immeasurably more. Just a few more testimonies. You know, in the last 3 weeks, it's the first time in our history that we've had over 500 people 3 weeks in a row. The first time ever. The last 3 weeks, we've had over 500. Hey, 2 weeks ago, we had the largest attendance that we have ever had outside of a religious holiday. We had 580 people on Sunday morning. I just want you to understand that God is doing immeasurably more than we ever dreamed. God is doing immeasurably more than we ever thought possible. We are living right now in the immeasurably more as a church. And here's what I don't want to happen. I don't want North Point Community Church to live in the abundance and you miss it. I don't want North Point Community Church to live in the overflow of God and you miss it. I don't want North Point to live in the immeasurably more of God and seeing all these things happen and you miss it. You were created to be a part of God's immeasurably more. He wants to do more in you and through you than you ever dreamed possible. That's God's promise to you. That's His word to you. And you need to be reminded of that this morning. Will you bow your heads with me just for a moment?